Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, yes, her accent is so very reassuring that everything is quite all right. Good evening, all humble, gentle listeners. This is I, your humble host, Bill Hatch. And this is YWL Online's Anything Can Happen Saturday. Going a little tamer on the topic this week, but it's a good one nonetheless. I am joined in studio by the ever vivacious Rudy.
May God bless us all, and we all find our there.
Amen. And I am joined over the telephone from the East Coast of the United States by Chaplain Hatch, my dear father. Hey, Pop, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
And
listening, normally it's New Orleans, and tonight it's from Snellville, Georgia.
Snellville, Georgia. It sounds like you made that up.
Almost. But Snellville is where Stone Mountain is located.
I am familiar with Stone Mountain.
Okay.
But I'm
glad to be part of the show this evening. But
glad to have you here.
10 o'clock where I'm at now, it's 11 o'clock tonight. So if I snore, sorry.
Well, that's what God made coffee for.
Exactly.
That's right. You can do a late night podcast on a Saturday night before church. You got anybody in the studio with you over there? Did I hear a voice in the background?
Your wonderful mom is on here as well. But
hello.
Else is pretty much.
Hello. One of my favorite titles ever was when we first started working at the Papa Bluff VA. And one of the guys always called Dad Padre. And when he introduced him to me, he decided on Madre.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Madre.
Yeah.
Madre de Guillermo.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yes. Mother of you.
Me.
All righty.
Anyway, brother, well, real quick, Brother Steve is not going to be joining us tonight. He can use everyone's prayers as he is finishing up and feeling a little overwhelmed.
Well, we certainly should add him to prayers tonight, without it, and every day for that matter. But absolutely, I remember those days. And how I was grateful when they were over. Not that studying was ever over. That still goes on. But
lifetime learner.
They jokingly say that people in Bible college, ministers especially in Bible college and in seminary, lift up prayer requests regularly for the Lord to come on down before finals. And then when they get through those finals, they say, it's okay, Lord, you don't have to come that soon after all.
didn't need you after all. Little do they realize that how much they needed him.
Exactly.
There was a line in a show I watched once that had a godlike character saying, if you do things right, they'll wonder if you did anything at all. His interference with humanity was just the right amount to keep people wondering if God had acted or not. And I've always kept that in mind because I do believe we have more miracles that go unseen because they're so quote unquote normal and everyday. That we just don't see as miracles because they're just so normal. And we're always looking out for the lightning strike, and we miss the breeze passing by. But I will soon be needing those prayers for sure. I got my personal statement sent in tonight, this afternoon actually. So maybe the church will decide something, and we'll see if I get to start school on Monday or not. Yeah, this week's been quite eventful. We had our dear sister Leah's memorial service yesterday. It went amazingly well in spite of some technical errors. I wish we had it recorded because Rudy got moved by the Spirit and started preaching.
Woo!
And, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So who knows how many we got from that. There was a nice turnout. Leave no one behind.
Amen.
That's a call we can get behind. So anyway, you Pop, you had a thought about a topic for tonight. Thought about doing a character study on definitely on a character I certainly have learned to appreciate over the course of time. But
I really think it's a good idea. I mean, we're always told as Christians that we should follow the example of Christ and try to do our best, but let's admit it. He's the Son of God. He can walk on water, and we aren't that good. We try, and we should always try, but we're not always that good at it. So what kind of examples are in the Bible that really can make a difference for us to realize that it is possible to live a good life, even with hills and valleys that come upon us? And John Mark is a good one, I think. Most of you do not ever connect the names John and Mark together, because there's so many Johns that are listed in scriptures. Well, the young man called John Mark starts off, he's not officially anywhere in the four Gospels. But later on, he wrote the Gospel of Mark, and it was indeed the first of the four Gospels that were written. In later life, he also was the man who went and founded the first Christian church in all of Egypt, and it was in the city of Alexandria.
You mentioned that on last Wednesday's show, that you had gotten the chance to go and visit.
Go visit there, which is really something. Well, there's a lot to the story of John Mark to show that he's human as well as a great person later on in life. And it starts the night that Jesus is arrested in Gethsemane. And the reference, if you'd like to look at it, is in Mark, the 14th chapter. How did my hand just go to the 13th chapter? Shame on it.
The 14th chapter, 51st verse.
Oh, hold on a second. Verse 51.
Yes, I beat you there.
I'm sorry?
I beat you there.
You beat me there. Shame on you. You shouldn't beat your dad. Not good.
You train your children to be better Christians than you are. So there you go.
Okay, well, I'll agree with that part of it. Anyway.
Maybe not a better Christian, but a better electronic Bible user.
Okay, so imagine that we're looking at the scene at Gethsemane. Jesus is just being arrested. The disciples themselves are scattering to the four winds.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone started to run and flee from him. And verse 51 says, a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus when they seized him. He fled naked, leaving his garment behind. I believe that is a self-admission of John Mark. You see,
you're not alone.
Yep. The reason being is the following. Jesus and the disciples were literally using the upper room at John Mark's mother's house. John Mark lived with his mom. That was custom.
Mm-hmm.
We find that out further on in Acts chapter 12. As a reference, the disciples, after Peter was arrested, he went to the house, when he was released, he went to the house of John Mark's mom, house where John Mark lived. Well, back in the week of the crucifixion, they were meeting in the upper room. So I propose the following as why I think this young man was John Mark. See, Judas had been in the upper room with them when Satan mm-hmm. entered him and caused him to go sell out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It only makes sense that since that's where Judas left Jesus when he went to betray him, that would be the first place they went when they went to go arrest Jesus, was back up to the upper room.
Of course, that makes sense.
A group of soldiers are never quiet in such matters. They're always noisy. They woke up John Mark. He wrapped his bed sheet around him and followed them out to Gethsemane. He was a young man. He wanted to know what was going on. And lo and behold, he found them, and he saw Jesus being arrested. And then he saw the other disciples running away. And when a Roman soldier, or maybe only one of the palace guards at this point, but a soldier nonetheless, reaches to grab for you, to arrest you, he managed to leave the bed sheet and ran off naked. That probably means he still had a loincloth on around his lower portions. But literally, right, for a Jewish individual to have only that much clothing on was considered to be naked anyway. And I honestly believe that when John Mark was writing his gospel, that was an admission, and it's the first glimpse of John Mark that we see.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that I wanted to interject in here, if I may. One is that, of course, naked is not the same as nude. And so so definitely that leaves open him to have some chonies on or something. But naked is unprotected, as opposed to nude, which has no clothes on. In the Amplified version, the way it says it is a young man was following him, and it's the capitalized him, so he was following Jesus. What if John Mark had slipped out when Jesus and the disciples went off to Gethsemane? He could very well have been there for Jesus' praying and the disciples falling asleep and all of that stuff as well. In that case, which would give him even more of a basis by which to join the movement later. Just as a thought.
That's not a bad thought, and it's certainly worth considering. The point, of course, being is that some young man was there and ran off that night, and we both believe that it was indeed he who would grow up to be John Mark.
Right. John, who is also called me.
We go forward, and I told you already the reference about Peter when he was arrested and was miraculously released, mm-hmm. and he went back to the upper room. And that's where there is the first reference to John Mark himself.
Right.
Later on, we get into Paul's conversion and his going and being at Antioch, and he and Barnabas go up to Jerusalem with some famine relief money, and that's when they pick up John Mark, who is indeed probably a cousin, but a near relative of Barnabas.
Right. Acts, of course, refers to Acts. Is that 15:37 refers to him as in the Amplified, it refers to John Mark as Barnabas's cousin, but in Mark, the Amplified refers back to one. The note here in Mark refers to where'd it go? No, that was in Acts. Sorry, in Acts 12:12. The note, there it goes. The note says, Colossians 4:10 says that this Mary was the aunt of Barnabas. And so if we accept that John Mark is the son of Mary, then that would make him, then that would definitely be a strong connection to him as a cousin.
Yes, it sure would.
right there. So Colossians kind of ties it all together in a nice, tidy bow.
But anyway, so we have John Mark and the reference for the upper room, and maybe as that young man who briefly mentioned at the arrest of Jesus in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And then we move farther forward to a point where Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission. That's all in Acts 12 again. I apologize. I just repeated you. Sorry.
All right.
We go to Acts 15, which is the first mission. And when they go, they take John Mark with them. That's Acts 15, verse 37. And everything's going well for a little while. But John Mark gets overwhelmed, perhaps by the exuberance of Paul, but he literally returns home. We don't know. Maybe there was a reason that he returned home because of mom back in Jerusalem. But he returns and is not doing very well as far as following with the ministry. And
Wasn't there somewhere along the lines that there seemed to be an extra, like an extra biblical legend about somebody being martyred or something, and one of the places where John Mark happened to be or something like that? And I often wondered if the persecution might have been part of the reason why that he couldn't deal with people being, you know, murdered, killed in such such horrifying fashion.
I don't know how accurate that is, but even early in that first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas were both elevated to high esteem, but also literally run out of town. And perhaps it was the peaks and valleys that John Mark just wasn't ready for.
Yeah.
And he returned to Jerusalem without them. And they finished up their missionary journey, and then they went back to Antioch. And Paul, who really was one to go and check up on the churches he had already worked on while still wanting to find new ones, they got ready to go on their second missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him, and Paul was his usual very strong, dare I say, stubborn self, and was taking the point of saying, no, John Mark had his chance, that's it, no more chances. And Barnabas said no, he saw something in his cousin, and he wanted to take his cousin with him again. And this caused a split between Paul and Barnabas.
Right.
Paul picks up Silas and goes on his second missionary journey. And unfortunately, we lose track of Barnabas after this. But he takes John Mark, and they go and do a journey. And we would think that that would be the end of John Mark as far as Paul was concerned, because he was literally done with him. But surprise, surprise, God wasn't done. And Barnabas, who had literally discovered Paul and discovered John Mark, you know, kept working with him. And we have references after that, and there were several about John Mark, which are really important to see, that Peter talks about him as literally in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is verse 13. It's just an off reference, but Peter says, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark." This is a reference to John Mark. So apparently John Mark went and worked with Peter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then in other portions of scripture that I'm trying to flip around to, from Colossians, Paul start showing that he now realizes that John Mark is somebody very worthwhile. Colossians 4, we see him working. That's not the one I wanted to find real quick, naturally. So if I rush, I did it wrong. But in Philemon chapter 1, Mark is working with Paul. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. So Paul, the stubborn one, if I may, and I'm not inaccurate with that, was literally to a point of saying John Mark was better than Paul had treated him, and called for him to be there, and John Mark stayed with him through several different points of arrest and house arrest while Paul was in Rome, and later on would go on from there and write the first gospel, most of which we assume or presume that he got from Peter, because Peter, of course, being one of the original 12, knew the majority of the earthly ministry of Jesus. And that's where we think John Mark got the main source of his working, his writings. And then he went on to Alexandria and founded the first Christian church in Egypt. And that's phenomenal stuff to show that he could run away from literally a point of Jesus being arrested. He was there. But it didn't cause him to become a strong follower after the resurrection, which was his house where Jesus appeared after, in the upper room. We don't hear anything about him being there, but I don't see him being anywhere else. He may not have been in the upper room itself, but he would have been there when all the disciples started talking about Jesus having returned, raised from the dead. And then he goes on this missionary journey, but then he again falls back and goes back to Jerusalem. And then he goes out with Barnabas, and I skipped that part, was martyred very soon after the beginning of that second missionary journey.
Okay, and that must be where I'm thinking. That might be where I'm thinking the martyr stuff comes in.
Maybe, because that is indeed what we believe happened with Barnabas. And John Mark doesn't fall away, though. He goes and works with Peter. He gets to go back and work with Paul. And when you talk about pridefulness, it's a two-way street. If somebody says, you're not good enough to work with me anymore, and then says, yes, bring him because he is good for the ministry, it can also be very prideful, saying, no, you had your chance once with me, I don't have to go back. But we don't see any of that with John Mark.
Right.
And he is wise enough to put the first gospel to pen and parchment.
Right.
And literally both Matthew and Luke get a lot of their resources from the Gospel of Mark.
If Luke was with Paul and Timothy, then Paul sent for John Mark, then it would make sense. That would be the interaction an opportunity for an interaction between Luke and Mark to compare notes and what all else, and to kind of start off their own writings as far as the Gospels that we have from them go.
Mm-hmm. But what I learned, what I learned from John Mark as an example is that even in our individual Christian walk, we can have good times, we can have valleys, we can have mountaintop experiences, and we can have valleys again. But it's how we persevere and go forward.
Right.
I mean, there's no way John Mark was writing the gospel about the life of Jesus so it would be published in the Bible.
Right.
That's what, you know, he was not looking to be a great writer and get royalties from writing books. He found, you know, just to communicate the story so that others would better know and understand what he had learned from Jesus.
Right.
And from others, that because he would have only had that last week of Jesus' earthly ministry before he was resurrected, but it's to the point that he was willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so although it was quite a week, though. You got to admit, that was quite a week of ministry, though. To be, I mean, if you were going to be exposed to any 1 week of Jesus's earthly ministry, I would kind of tend to think most people would probably choose that week.
Yes.
Because there's so many.
If I were to bring it down to one day, it would be Palm Sunday. But that's a different message.
That is.
But yeah, that's a different Saturday topic for sure. But to be able to say that we as believers today can use the example of John Mark and going forward and saying, gee, they weren't perfect people who were doing all this stuff for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They had good days, they had bad days. I'm guessing that it literally had bad months and years and still were pulled back to be able to pick themselves up and go forward for the Lord. And so we can look at that with a good faith point. And at that, don't you have to do a commercial?
Well, let's go ahead and do that before we hit the break between live and archive. Of course, we're going to keep going, and there will be some extra material for those of you who want to either come back or stick with us for the archive material that Blog Talk Radio gives us a chance for. I want to remind everybody that we're here not just on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock Pacific time, but also on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Pacific time. If you follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, you'll get the announcement when a new episode is about to come online. And, of course, you know, you can always come back and listen to the shows on the archive, which Saturday night we'll try to have some extra material on the archives for you. So be sure to join us. You can also join us over on Facebook at Your Wonderful Life or YWL Online. Those are both communities I monitor. And hopefully if you get a comment up at just the right time, then we might even talk about something you've talked about on the live show. But you can be sure that I'll get your message eventually, and we'll get all that done. And of course, as has become our habit, at the end of each live episode, we'd like to ask anybody who's made it this far if there isn't a reason why you've made it this far and that you've found something here that you can. And so we'd like to invite anybody who feels the spirit moving, as it were, to join us in the sinner's prayer and to become a Christian. So if you'll follow along with me real quickly here. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have turned from your wonderful ways and have followed my own wicked desires, and I have sinned against you and against others. Please, Lord, forgive me those sins. Help me to turn away from my ways, follow you and your perfect ways. Help me to become a better person and to become the Christian that you would have me be. All these things and more we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
How was
that? We might have to remember that one. So definitely there's a lot to think about. And of course, stick with us because the live portion is about to end, and we're going to keep going for a little bit. So come on back when the archives are done, or stick with us if the archives are live. Anyway, there's a lot of lessons about not giving up, about being wrong. We've got Barnabas, of course, who's the great discoverer. I mean, he discovers Paul, as it were, and Paul goes on to write most of the New Testament. He discovers Mark. He sees something in Mark, and Mark ends up writing one of the four Gospels we end up with. So he's definitely profound stuff, even though he himself doesn't seem to make that big of an impression on people, even though he was a great missionary and great as far as things go. He's not the huge earth-shattering impact that a Paul or John Mark or Peter was, but still he had his purpose, his moment in the sun, which just was to show whatever it is you do, you're called to do, it's important. Even if it's just to give a good word to one person, that could grow into something enormous. Each little ripple will affect the entire pond.
That is so true.
You know, and then we've got Paul, of course, who thinks that John Mark isn't good enough. You know, that he left he split on us once, and I'm not going to give him a chance to do that again. And then to turn around and be enough, you know, be strong enough to say he was wrong and actually ask for John Mark to come back and join him because of how helpful he is in the ministry. And that's a lesson a lot of Christians really need to learn, because a human being being wrong does not change anything else. Just because you're wrong about something doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. Doesn't mean that God is wrong. It just means you're wrong. And a lot of people forget that. They get some idea in their head, and that's why we have this problem with so much division in the church today. You know, there are new denominations being created every day because people think they're so right about how it is to worship and how it is to live our daily lives. And the imperial we, I guess we could say, we as a corporation, as Christianity, just have such a hard time of letting go of things we may very well be wrong about. And yet we have this great example in Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament, admitting he is wrong by asking John Mark to come back. And apparently not for the first time either, because in Timothy he says that he is very helpful to me for the ministry. So he's been doing stuff for Peter, for John, Paul, whatever his name is, for Paul. And of course, then we've got a great example in Mark, in that, like you said, there are ups and downs. Maybe we see something that plants a seed, but we're afraid of it. And maybe we come back to it later, and maybe we get afraid again, and we can't deal with the ups and downs, but we keep coming back. It's not about, I've heard it said before, it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up. And John Mark definitely seemed to get up one more time than he fell down. That's for sure.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, so definitely great example for us to great examples in just the story and just that to, you know, what is it we're to do, and how can we make our impact? One of those ways is definitely keep getting up. No matter how hard you fall, get back up.
Yeah, and apparently, the fight that took place between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark was truly a, if I may, gut-wrenching time for all of them, because they were literally the dynamic, Paul and Barnabas were literally the dynamic duo in missionary journeys. One of the places tried to make Barnabas Zeus come to earth, and Paul Hermes, his spokesman. They were really a team that was, you know, seen as a powerful and effective tool for the Lord. And yet they unfortunately split over giving someone a second chance. And we're grateful that the error of that judgment on Paul's part, he was able to admit that he was wrong, and still was able to go forward under different circumstances later on. And that is so important for all of us to realize. As you said, there's so many different arguments between groups. There's over 30 different groups of Baptists in the world, and I will sometimes sarcastically say, and if you stand up, turn around twice, and sit back down, there will be at least two more denominations of Baptists in the amount of time it took you to do that.
We also used to have a saying, where two or more are gathered, you will have three opinions. And thankfully, one of them is God.
Yep.
So people decide how things fit for them. That's terrific, but it doesn't mean you go off by yourself. We're
right.
told many times throughout the New Testament not to give up fellowship time with each other, not to give up encouraging each other.
And Jesus sent the disciples out by twos. Mm-hmm. And when they were apostles, they still were going out by twos in the sense that they had the Holy Spirit with them. But divisions have been around since the Corinthians, and they will continue. But we need to try to work through and say, what does God want me to do? I'm in a blessed situation where I am a chaplain with a VA system, so I don't have a board of deacons, which a lot of pastors will chuckle and say, lucky you. And yet I have a few folks that are above and around me for things that I don't know which is worse. But I'm grateful for where I am because God has had wonderful things happen over the years, and yet there have been real trials with it also. But still trying to offer it up to the Lord and trying to say, make me better, and yeah, I continue representing your kingdom in all that I do.
Amen to that. You know, like I said, I just finished writing up my personal statement and my call to ministry and for the church. And I, of course, now that I've submitted it, I'm second guessing all sorts of parts of it. But it is. And it's interesting to look back and see how the path went. And the mistakes that were made, and how those mistakes were brought into the plan and became part of it. It's like, hey, you learn that, and learn this, move towards a different thing, and this experience will help you with this thing, and that experience will help you with that thing, and it's like even the hard down parts. The parts with the darkest, in the darkest valleys, like we've been going through here over the last few weeks, or the last month almost now, with the loss of Leah, and in the valley that's taken us through, and coming out through, coming through the on the other side, starting to see a little bit of daylight, and knowing that what we've been through isn't something we need to forget; it's something we need to use as we go forward to help somebody else. And to make us stronger and better tools for the Lord as we go forward. But definitely. So,
isn't until we're at the end of an experience where we see clearly the direction God has us going, then oftentimes mm-hmm. we look back and go, remember when I tried to do this and it didn't work and I thought about giving up? But God uses that too.
Yeah.
To build us up, to take us to the point he needs us to be at. In the
right
place, doing what he wants us to do.
That is for sure. We were talking the other day about the story of the footprints in the sand. It's like
uh-huh.
I saw two sets of footprints, and Lord, why is there only one set of footprints here? And oh, well, that's where I carried you. Oh, and my thought was, and the next question would be, Lord, what are these deep lines here in the sand for? Oh, that's when I was dragging you, kicking and screaming. And,
I don't know if Margaret ever thought about adding that to her poem. Margaret Pishback
Powers. Yep, the author of Footprints in the Sand.
Yep. I guess that's part three.
What time does this shut off with the extra time?
Quarter till. We've got a few more minutes.
All right. Because I know I need to talk to you personally after.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't leave me alone. I'm in trouble. anything to close on with Mark and crew? Any last tie it together with a nice little ribbon?
Oh, I thought I tied it together with a nice little ribbon in the fact that what he went forward and kept doing afterward, without big apostles. He went forward and started the Christian church in Egypt, that building is still there. And he also wrote that first gospel. He saw a need of getting the message out to others, and he did it. He wrote it out. And it's done in a way that I think is quite effective. I always recommend to new Christians that they should read the Gospel of Mark first.
That's exactly why we did that on the Wednesday night program. Of course, anybody wanting to go back and listen to that is certainly welcome to. Those archives are still available.
But yeah, it's that important to be able to read through. And that, yes, it's the shortest gospel, and that's one of the reasons why I liked it so much. but that's because also with Matthew and Luke, I like the Christmas story, and you have to keep going back and forth on those just to get, you know, the Christmas story through.
Right.
Which is not covered by John or Mark at all. And that's fine. And to be able to see that each of the four gospel writers were writing to audiences in their style, not trying to be historians or chronological.
Chronologically.
And all chronographers
presenting the life of Jesus so that it would be, you know.
It's not a diary.
Yeah, there you go. It's not
a diary.
Especially since he wasn't there until about the last week.
That's
he was
true.
Certainly able to get the information.
Yeah.
And really, that's the only ribbon wrapping on this one is we can all be like Mark. We can have our ups and downs, but it's still that we persevere to the end for Christ and God's kingdom.
Be like Mark. Sounds
like
a plan. Be more like Mark.
Yep.
Definitely some good example type people in there for us. And you know, really appreciate you for helping us out with tonight.
Oh, my privilege. I really enjoy doing talking Bible and talking God's kingdom in today's world is there.
Yep. Now you'll be doing it forever. Because the internet is forever.
Oh, thanks a lot. That's scary, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So, we are done from Georgia.
Okay. We are done. Let me hang up. Then let me say one final goodbye to our listeners. I'm going to drop you and continue the conversation with my dear father. So have yourselves a wonderful time. Be sure to share with others if you found anything worthwhile. And we'll see you in the next episode.
God bless you all.
Bye.
God bless you.